I feel like, a bit like Emma said, that the Holy Spirit has been very busy weaving in and out of this morning. And I'm going to be touching on almost everything that has been said. So to start off with, last week, Jonathan followed on from Sylvia in introducing, which book was it? Thank you, Ian. Good job. And Jonathan sort of touched on the first two verses, and we're now going to move on to the next chunk. So those of you with Bibles open, Ephesians chapter 1, and so that my voice doesn't get even more monotonous, before we get onto that, Anne, when she was a young girl, had a dream. She was in her bedroom asleep, and she dreamt that she could ride her bike. She never had before, but in her dream, she pictured that she could ride her bike. So the next morning, her house was at the top of a slope. She got on the bike at the top of the slope, jumped on, let gravity do its stuff, and the nice little picket fences in front of the other houses had nice little holes in them. As Anne careered out of control through their gardens. It wouldn't have happened these days, because those nice front gardens are all tarmacked over and have got cars parked on them. So it would be very different if it happened. What I'm bringing today is the result of something I pictured in my head, and I could just really do with you praying that what I picture and what it feels like the Holy Spirit is bringing will actually come to fruit, and there won't be too many broken picket fences. Anyone up for praying for me?
Yeah, I'll pray.
Thank you, Steve. Bring it.
Well, I pray that the brain and the heart and the mind and the spirit will connect together and be like an arrow into our hearts of your Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Steve. So, who's got Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 in front of them? Could you give us the first couple of verses?
Right. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will.
Okay, verse 6.
To the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the time reaches their fulfillment, to bring us unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ.
Verse 11.
You have to forgive me if I can't pronounce it properly. Right, furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God. For he chose us in advance, and he makes everything work out according to his plan.
Where did you get to?
12.
12.
In order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit, guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory.
Thank you very much. Was that the first half?
Yeah,
good. Now, I have read that probably 6 times. I've listened to it another 3 times, and I've just been hit with a fresh overwhelmingness of how totally awesome it is. And it's like, I mean, Ian and I have, and a few others, like our puddings, don't we? And it's like, you know, you stack the levels, you know, you, don't we, Sue? Puddings, you know, start with the sponge, then the fruit, then the cream, then the ice cream, and it just is one beautiful conglomeration. And that's a bit like what this first part of Ephesians is like. It's just more and more and more of God's goodness being poured out over us. And at this point, I'll dig my notes out. So I've just highlighted in my bits some of the key bits. Thank you. So first of all, he blessed us from the heavenly realms. He chose us in him before the creation of the world. He predestined us for adoption to sonship and daughtership. He has freely given us all of this stuff in the one that he loves. We have complete redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins that he lavished on us. Now, that is such a dessert word, isn't it? Just lavished his goodness and abundance on us. He made known to us the mystery, all the stuff that no one else has ever understood. He's shown us an inkling of what that actually means. In him we were chosen. We didn't sort of jump up and down like Donkey and Shrek and say, pick me, pick me, pick me. He actually did it before we were even there. And more predestination. And it was all for the praise of his glory. We were marked with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit. And it is just a wave and wave and wave of God's undeserved grace flowing over us, like Sue said, without us doing anything. You know, we did not deserve it. And, but like Anne said, the only thing that actually we contribute to our salvation is the stuff we've done wrong. That's the only thing. And being alive. And any good work we have done does not add to our salvation. It does not contribute. It blesses God. It blesses the family of the church. But it is not something that we have to do. Going back through it, there were only, I think, three things that it says we need to do. We need to hear. We need to put our hope in Christ, and we need to believe. That's all we have to do, according to this bit. And that is just so beautifully amazing. It's like Paul just releases a tidal wave of God's goodness that just overwhelms us, and we end up, you know, being tossed and turned in the waves of his glory as we hear, as we believe, as we put our trust in him. We call this stuff grace. Just as Katie well knows, God's riches at Christ's expense. We deserve none of it, and yet it is given to us freely. However, it is possible to misuse that grace. We can take advantage of it, as it says somewhere, shall I sin more so that grace may abound? And by no means. But there can be that inclination that, you know, we can just overuse the grace because it's freely available. I know for me, one of the things I've learnt more and more is that you don't have to go through a period of penance between doing something wrong and receiving God's forgiveness. You can just go straight to the throne of God and say, sorry, and redemption is there. I felt like it's a bit like being in a draw, free draw, for a nice motor car. Who would like a nice motor car? Anyone? Kay, what sort of car would you like?
Three.
A yellow sport. What? Come on. What sort? Yeah. Boxer. Okay. The green Jeep. The old school. Very nice. Very nice. Anita, what were you going to say? Oh, an Ignis. Okay. Posh, modern. In purple. Or matching your top. Katie, what car would you like?
Any.
How many wheels would you like? but you can picture going in for a draw, and you get given this car, and it is yours completely free. It gets delivered, goes into the garage, out of the rain, out of the wind, out of the sun, and it sits there. And it is yours. However, if you're actually going to enjoy it and benefit from it, you need those little things called insurance, road tax, and petrol. It costs to make the most of the free gift. And that's kind of where I'm going today. So there are a few verses from the New Testament I just want to read out that kind of highlight some of this. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. Picture your sports car. When a man found it, he hid it again and then with joy went and sold all he had and bought the field so that he could have the thing that was so beautiful. He gave up everything so that he could drive the car rather than just leave it in the garage. But then in Romans, Paul says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of this mercy of God, this grace, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform anymore to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Going on to Colossians. Since then you have been raised with Christ. That grace. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Put to death whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. And finally, Galatians. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in this body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So we have this overwhelming rolling over us of God's goodness and his grace, and we then have the little issue of ourselves who tend to get in the way. When Anne and I were working on the hospital ship in Africa, Anne had the joy of cleaning the toilets in a huge metal box in the tropical sun, and it was not fun. And there was a verse that really spoke to her. Anyone who puts his hand to the plough and looks back is not worthy of the kingdom of God. And it's like we know where we should be going. But we hear these things, we smell these things, we hear the rumours of these things behind us, and we tend to look around. And we take our eyes off the direction. And if you've got your hand on the plough and you're looking around, you start going in circles. And it's that trying to reduce the amount that we get distracted. Now, those of you who are good at your Latin will know what the Latin for I is. No. Sorry? No, no, no. It's ego. So I in Latin is ego. And we all know about having a big ego, about being egotistical. And I is where it all comes from. And drawing some of these things together, we need to put our eyes, ourselves, on the altar as a living sacrifice. So without any further ado, here is an altar. Matthew, can I have some help?
She's playing a game.
Okay. He's going to have more fun than that. Because we talked about nails earlier, didn't we, Roz? Nails. You talked about nails, but rather than not a prick causing the blood. Right, Matthew. Could you put this nail in that hole? Give it a push. And let's line it up underneath. Right. There we go. And now can you hit it with a hammer?
Oh my word.
Lovely. Thank you. Izzy, your turn. No. Thank you very much. I get a lot of squashed fingers helping kids doing that at Forest School. And now, because the thing with living sacrifices, I once heard, is that they tend to crawl off the altar. But by nailing ourselves, forcing ourselves to remain under God's gaze, exposed, it's like having a an all areas pass, you know, at the rock show, concert, or whatever they call it these days, you know, that you can just go absolutely anywhere. And we give God permission to do that in our lives. We're not sort of just trying to say, oh no, you can come in but don't look at that bit, but it's absolutely everything. And that's pretty good. Good job, Matthew. And now, obviously, the I needs to be broken. I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live. I have died to myself. And therefore, there's only one thing that really needs to happen to this. But as Crocodile Dundee would say, anyone? Thank you.
You didn't have to say that to Simon.
Oh no, he's got his spectacles.
And don't worry, Brian, this is why the screen's here. So I'm just going to disappear behind the screen.
Our Sunday services are really quite unique.
I'm not sure if this will work, but you might just need to picture what should be about to happen. One more. Oh no, one more. I think that'll do.
Something else.
And so that's fairly well damaged. But There we go. So in this illustration, the I, the ego, is now completely broken and is completely open to God's purposes in the life, the person's life. I'm fully aware that the main person I'm speaking to today is me. And if you want to have like an echo of it coming back to you, that's entirely right and proper or fine. But I was talking to Esther, our eldest daughter, about this. And she said it's all very well breaking the bad stuff, but what we've got to do is then replace it with stuff that is good.
Yes.
If you leave a vacuum, stuff will come back in. Did they hear it, Chris?
No.
Okay. Obviously, their music is loud enough. And so, for instance, when Jesus was talking, he didn't say, just do not curse. He said, bless and do not curse. Do not worry about what you will eat or drink. Okay, what do I worry about then, if I'm not going to worry about that? But he then says, seek his kingdom and you'll get what you need. So it's not just an absence of worrying, of being anxious, but it's replacing it with something that is really relevant. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. Okay, what do I do then? Receive my peace. Do not judge. Do not condemn. What do I do instead? I need to forgive. Do not be proud. Do not be conceited. But be willing to associate with people of low position. So instead of just wiping those things out, we do something else instead. I believe that people who are giving up smoking have the same sort of thing, where they have to put in something else to replace the habit. Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment. Do not gossip. These are some of my own. Do not gossip. Instead, speak the good stuff about your friends, your workmates, your family. Do not hold resentment and unforgiveness. Instead, forgive and keep on forgiving. Do not feel excluded. Do not feel on your own, especially in here. But instead, go up to someone and say hi. Do not be envious of what others have, but instead, be grateful for what you do have. As for us, this is Hebrews 12:1 from the Passion. As for us, we have all these great witnesses who encircle us like clouds. So we must let go of every wound that has pierced us and the sin that we so easily fall into. And then we'll be able to run life's marathon race with passion and determination. The path has been marked out for us already. For me, the key bit's there. So we must let go of every wound that has pierced us and the sin we so easily fall into. And I imagine for all of us, we can recognize what those wounds are. We can recognize what those sins that we so easily fall into are. And we must let go of them. And so, to finish off, I have some very safe matches here, courtesy of Jonathan, who safeted them by taking off the tips. Thank you. And I just want to make them available to you as you exit stage that way for coffee, just to come and let this be your I. Let this be your ego. If you want to use an axe, come and ask for help. If you're willing just to do it with your fingers, that's fine. But just do it in the presence of God, knowing that he knows your hearts, knowing that he is so incredibly abundantly for you and has been since before the beginning of time. And all we're doing is just grabbing hold of his coat and just being pulled along. So if you want to feel those, you can. I'll leave it there. Holy Spirit, you know what you've been weaving this morning. You know what each person has brought, whether it's out with the microphone or in their own hearts. And we just invite you to carry on this journey with us. Thank you for your love. Thank you that you are so much quicker to forgive than we are to ask forgiveness. Amen.
Amen. Wow.